unheardnerd.com.
Welcome to the Unheard Nerd Movie Podcast. We're back after a little break. With me, as always, is John.
Hello, everyone.
And I am Will. And you can find us on Twitter. John is at UK Film Nerd, and I am at the Unheard Nerd. Right, movies, John. We haven't really done this for a few weeks. We had the we had a Crow special, and we've had a show a couple of weeks ago, but we've been a bit slacking on the movie podcast, haven't we?
We have a little bit.
So let's get into it. What have we got this week, John?
My first thoughts were, was there going to be any news? We've had so much Iron Man 3 posters, Pacific Rim posters.
It's been poster-rific, hasn't it?
Wolverine teasers for teasers.
A tweezer for a teaser for a trailer. My God, what's that all about?
I couldn't believe it when I can't remember his name, but he tweeted online, oh, here's 6 seconds. Oh, great, I won't bother then.
So. Yeah, I know. And you can turn the sound on and off, because that makes a lot of difference. Oh my God, I feel like I've seen the whole film. Yes, Vine. Do you use, obviously we use Twitter, but Vine is the video version of Twitter, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, you can upload 6 seconds, which, I mean, in my day was called an animated GIF. But you can upload 6 seconds of film. And yeah, obviously, I think that's the first, to my knowledge, movie that have used that. It's a tweezer for a teaser for a trailer. Utter wank, if you ask me.
Was it 24 seconds the next day?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even look for the teaser. There was no point. No. I just wait for the trailer. And then we got two trailers.
Which is nice. Made up for it a little bit. But I liked what I saw. It already looks better than the Wolverine Origins movie.
Which was awful. It really was awful.
It was.
I didn't like that at all.
There were too many coincidences in that film for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs to that farmhouse with the barn, and they were like, oh, have this bike. Oh, have my son's jacket. That just happens to be the jacket you wear in the X-Men films. It's like, oh, it's just like the writers are sitting there going, now, how can we, he wore that, didn't he, in X-Men 2? How can we get in that?
Yeah.
Oh, ridiculous.
Sort of prize it in. It's not another origin story. It's presumably following on from the X-Men films.
It's almost standalone, I believe.
There's this thing about Wolverine that he was enlisted by the Canadian government into the Alpha Flight program. And which he then left and joined the X-Men. So I wonder if it's going to look at that story or I don't know, really don't know, or whether that was covered in Origins. I'm not really sure. I can't remember. But yeah, the two trailers, I haven't really watched them properly. I had them on, but was talking at the same time, so I didn't really tape them in, which probably is indicative as well of my, I'm not madly interested in X-Men. But I am quite looking forward to this film. I think hopefully it'll be good. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of action to it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the sequence on top of the bullet train, I mean, it's interesting.
But the posters, John, the posters.
The posters. Any posters in particular?
Well, no, the Wolverine posters. There was one that was all right, and there was one that looked like it had been done by, the office temp. It was terrible.
Awful. Photoshop rears its ugly head once again.
I mean, the exposure of Wolverine against the ninjas in the background, who were, at least one of them was copy and pasted and just flipped the off the other.
Oh, God's sake.
It was really, really shoddy, and I'm embarrassed for them because I know I could do better myself.
It is embarrassing. I mean, one of the movie websites I go to, they actually phoned up 20th Century Fox to confirm it was a real poster. They couldn't believe how bad it was.
It really is.
Yeah.
Shocking. But yes, it has been posterific. There's been a Pacific Rim poster a day with a different Jaeger, I'm not sure how you say it, a robot, a massive fucking robot, a different one each day. Apparently each country has their own robot. And so far, let's see if I can remember off the top of my head, we've had China, we've had Russia, Australia, and today America, USA.
That's right, yeah.
And they've all got names like Coyote Tango and something Alpha and biscuit cup of tea and things like that.
Do you think there's a British Jaeger?
Well, it, probably.
Sort, and sort of like a half-built one with some blokes on it going, we'll get there eventually, give us a chance.
It'll be typically American cheesy, when it would be like called Jolly Old Chap or something. Good old Brit.
have a metal bowler hat on.
Yeah, exactly. And an umbrella as a shield. It might be onto something there. That might work.
Okay. If you've got Del Toro's number, give him a call.
It's not too late. We can CGI it in. It's just in the background somewhere. I don't know if a British one will be in there. You'd expect so, because like films, Hollywood films, they love to bring in the Brits, don't they? With their, we all have terribly posh accents, and I'm thinking of Independence Day.
That's exactly what I was just about to mention. Yeah, that's very typically British, that scene.
Jolly good show, chaps.
Oh, the Americans are onto something. Oh.
God, we're bloody stupid, but thank God for America. Yeah, it really is. But I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, because it's set in the Pacific Rim. Who knows? Perhaps the Brits are not bothered by it. They're like, yeah, whatever. Just fucking deal with it. The Japanese, the Chinese, maybe Fiji will have one. I don't know.
If they release any more posters.
There's going to be one a day, isn't there? Until the film releases, I expect. It's unbelievable. There's also been Kick-Ass 2 posters. And there were those sort of leaked sort of headshot ones, which came from a source, not an official source. And now they're releasing the official ones, which are similar, but slightly more of an angle. They're sort of angled headshots rather than head on. And we've seen, what is it, Colonel Stars and Stripes, yeah. And Hit Girls this far on those, I think, as well as a new trailer for that. I hope I'm not spoiling your future news.
No, you're not. No, I haven't mentioned the stuff that I put on the website. I don't tend to use in podcasts.
Right, yeah, well, fair play. I don't know, the trailers make it look good, but I watched... Should we get into this now? I watched the first Kick-Ass, and I watched it with my wife, and I really hated it. I really hated it. I thought it was terrible. There were a few bits that made me smirk, and which gave my wife the impression that I was enjoying it. But I just hated it. It was lowest common denominator. It was base humor. It was shock value with very little, you know, content. I think I'm on my own here with that one.
Yeah, I was surprised by your reaction, because I love the film.
I also watched Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, right.
Admittedly, I mean, you don't like care for that film, do you?
No, I gave up after about 10, 15 minutes.
Which amazes me, because it is an awesome film. I loved it. Admittedly, when I watched it, I had a fever and I was a bit delirious. And yeah, it's a kind of spacey film with all the video game graphics and like hit bars and stuff that come up.
Yeah, that's what I was looking forward to. But
I really, really liked it. It struck a chord with me. And comparing the two, I know there's no rivalry, but comparing the two, give me Scott Pilgrim any day of the week. I think I've made a decision, actually, that will be my first Blu-ray purchase, because I haven't bought a Blu-ray. But
well done.
I hated it. So there we go. Right, other posters. What else have we had? Pacific Rim, Iron Man 3. And we had the trailer that sort of they released early, I think. Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was a marketing plan, a shrewd marketing plan. Because we all got excited because you saw Pepper Potts in the Iron Man outfit, in the armour. She's sort of blown backwards. Did you see the trailer?
I did. I was actually disappointed, because I thought that's something they should have kept secret until, you know, people saw it on release.
I think.
I don't know why, but I just felt that, you know.
I agree. Yeah.
They're revealing too much.
I agree. Yeah, I do agree. I mean, there was always speculation that she would have an Iron Man type or Iron Woman suit, I suppose. And yeah, you're right. It did give it away a lot. But I think they a mistake, really. They released that trailer. It was a TV spot, wasn't it? I think they released it by accident. Because they subsequently pulled it. But of course, I mean, within 3 minutes of Marvel putting it on their YouTube feed, I had it up on our website.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't usually do this, but I took some screen grabs because I thought it was a really interesting plot point of the film. You know, the fact that you saw Pepper Potts in the suit, midair being thrown backwards by a blast and the suit sort of protecting her. I thought it was really interesting. So I took some screen grabs. And of course, then Marvel took it down later in the day, a few hours later, and put up a different one. Which is nowhere near as interesting. Or
no, it's like, yeah, I remember watching the sort of alternative one that day and went, what's special about that?
After watching the first one, it was pointless, but I think there was a mistake. And in the end, I think they thought, well, it's out there now, it's too late.
Yeah.
So we might as well release it officially, which they did. So I didn't bother posting it again on the website because by that point I was a bit over it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, we talked about it, we had it up, and then it went, and we talked about it some more, and then we explained why, and so, well, if people want to watch it, they just watch it. It's there now. So I didn't bother. But yeah, that is there. If people missed it, the Pepper Potts stuff, and they don't, you know, if they're not worried about spoiling parts of the film, then go and watch it.
Well, we probably spoiled it for them.
Yeah. But yeah, there have been a number of Iron Man posters. Again, people have spotted that some of the Iron Man figures in the backgrounds are just copy and pasted and flipped from other posters. And it's like, wow, big deal, you know, you're going to see him in the film anyway. What difference does it make? But yeah, so lots and lots of posters. I don't remember there being quite so many posters for films in the past. Is this a new thing?
I don't know. Just Iron Man 3 and Pacific Rim, they just kept on coming. And normally, you could sort of get like a teaser poster, and then you had the sort of the theatrical poster, and then that was it.
Yeah, but it's become bizarre. I kind of wish we hadn't started posting up the Pacific Rim posters on the website, because it's become a full-time job. You have to look out for a new one every day.
I know.
I mean, they're interesting. They look good. I still have my reservations about Pacific Rim. And the fact, it just bugs me that you've got big walking robots in the sea. Wouldn't a boat be better? Posters, posters, posters. What have we got next?
National Lampoon's Vacation is coming back.
Wow, I did not expect that. What? What? National Lampoon's Vacation. Blimey. Okay, tell us about that.
Okay, well, screenwriters John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, who wrote Horrible Bosses and the recently released in America, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. And it's going to star a guy called Ed Helms, who's in the Hangover trilogy and is in the US version of The Office. He's a grown-up Rusty Griswold, the son.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
And he's going to be coordinating a road trip to Wally World with his family.
Oh, right.
It sounds like they're trying to do a remake without being a remake.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a reboot on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not really a reboot. It's exactly the same film with the son playing the lead.
Surely it should be National Lampoon's Vacation, The Next Generation.
Maybe they haven't thought about it. National Lampoon's Generation Vacation. So it starts to sound like a game show, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just getting a bit weird now.
I can't see it being a bad... I mean, it'll be funny, won't it? It'll be a comedy, but well, I don't know. Bothered by that.
Christina Applegate, remember her?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, I used to crush on her.
She's going to be playing Rusty's wife. And New Line have really been pushing hard. And Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo are going to be in it as Clark and Ellen. Right. But only sort of an extended cameo type thing. They're not actually in the whole movie.
Sure. A bit like Shia LaBeouf's parents in Transformers, who seem to get a bigger role with each film. That's weird.
I mean, they're funny, but you don't want them in the film that much.
Well, yeah, there you go. Whoops. National Lampoon's. I remember going to see some of those. I saw one at the cinema for sure. I think it was Winter Vacation or Christmas Vacation. I can't remember. I don't even know how many there were.
I know there's a Christmas one. There's the one where they go to Wally World. And my favourite one is the European Vacation. I've seen that several times. I like that one.
Yeah, I've seen that, the Sex and Six thing.
Yeah.
Never really watched them that much. I saw one, but it was only because I went to the cinema with a friend who wanted to see it. And it was amusing, but I wouldn't say it was great. I know they're a bit of an institution in the States, but just not bothered by it. I don't know. What about you?
I don't know if it's the same thing again, but new and fresh, it might be all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just the fact it sounds like, as you said a few minutes ago, it's a reboot without being a reboot. That's the one thing that's, I think, is hanging over it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. National Lampoon's Vacation, The Return. Okay, anything more on that?
No, it's going to start production in this summer.
Right, okay, I'm going to forget about that until it comes out.
Okay.
What's next?
In a way, some of the Kick-Ass team, your favourite people, are getting back together because 20th Century Fox has confirmed they're going to be releasing Matthew Vaughan's directed comic adaptation of Mark Miller's The Secret Service.
Okay, I know nothing about that at all.
I can read you the long blurb. Deep breath. The world's greatest secret agent is on the most exciting case of his career, but will the end of the world as... Start again. There's a word missing.
Damn it. Who typed up your notes? Sack him.
The world's greatest secret agent is on the most exciting case of his career. But will the end of the world as we know it take a backseat to training his street punk nephew to be the next James Bond? Meanwhile, what's the secret link between a series of kidnapped sci-fi stars, the murder of an entire town, and a dark secret from inside Mount Everest? Under Uncle Jack's supervision, Gary's spy skills and confidence blossom. But when the duo learn what's behind the celebrity kidnappings, the knowledge comes at a price. The conspiracy begins to unravel, but who can be trusted when so many prominent figures seem to be involved?
Okay, so what, they kidnap superheroes, did you say?
They're kidnapping sci-fi stars.
Oh, sci-fi stars, I do apologise. Because I suddenly thought of, there's a sort of an indie flick about, it's sort of a mixture of Saw, all these superheroes are kidnapped and put into this situation where they've got to fight to the death, I think, to get out alive. Something like that. Anyway, by the by. So... okay, sci-fi stuff. This just sounds weird.
That's very strange. And also a James Bond type secret agent training his nephew.
It's a bit like a father training his daughter to be a hit girl.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, call me a skeptic.
The film's said being directed by Matthew Vaughn, who directed Kick-Ass and also X-Men First Class. And this would begin filming in August from a script that he wrote along with Jane Goldman, who the UK audience might recognise as Mrs. Jonathan Ross.
Oh, yes, yes. yes, as mentioned in a previous podcast. Yes, I can. I don't hold out a lot of hope. It's pretty much the same team, isn't it?
Kick-Ass.
So everyone will love it except me. So I won't be watching that then. Grump.
Well, that's not due until November 14th next year, so it's a little while off yet.
Plenty of time to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right, anything else on that?
No, that's the end of the Secret Service.
End of the Secret Service. Okay, what's next?
Next, we mentioned in the last film news podcast about Gareth Edwards has started production on the Godzilla reboot.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting excited about that because I started reading the IDW collected comic of something or other. Well, a Godzilla comic anyway, just to get in the mood, because I'm quite excited about that after our chat. I listened to the podcast again. Because I do that. I like to listen to myself. But I like to listen to you as well. Yeah, it got me inspired. I'm looking forward to Godzilla. So what about Godzilla?
Well, it's actually not about Godzilla.
Damn it!
it was just a tenuous link, because it's to say that Gareth Edwards, who's currently filming that as we speak, they're making a sequel to the film that made him famous, Monsters.
Oh, are they?
Monsters Dark Continent.
That sounds terrible.
It does. It's one of those films where you watch it and you think, yeah, it's a good film. And they go, we're going to make a sequel. And you go,
no.
You're just making a sequel because it was cheap and it made loads of money.
Yeah, really not worth it. It was, as a film, standalone film only, do not make sequels of that. It just doesn't need it. I mean, you left the story at a decent point. You know, it had a moral to it. It had to, you know, who are the monsters, effectively, was the question posed at the end. Are we the monsters? Are the monsters the monsters? You know, all they want to do is live, basically. They're just trying to reproduce, albeit on our planet.
Yeah.
Dark Continent. It just sounds bad.
It's a horrible sounding title, isn't it? It's going to be directed by a guy called Tom Green, who apparently directed several episodes of Misfits.
Right.
I've got the stars' names, but I can't even be asked to read them out because I don't recognise them.
Okay, fair enough.
Apparently, infected zones have now spread across the world. As the US military tried to wipe out the monsters, they soon realised they faced resistance from a number of corners.
Right, so it'll be like resistance from humans.
Obviously, yeah, people who are saying they're just trying to adapt and evolve to our planet, leave them alone.
Resistance from the aliens themselves.
Mm.
And what other element could there be? I don't know. Something comes down from space. Guardians of the aliens that brought them here. Who knows?
Who knows?
It just sounds terrible. I don't like it. Don't like it. I'm going to write a letter on that one.
Fair enough.
Dear Gareth.
Have you seen what they've done to your movie?
Oh, is he involved, did you say?
Not as far as I know, no.
Oh, that's even worse. That's terrible. I mean, it was his film, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much his film.
Well, I'm sure he's making lots of money from that, so I don't suppose he gives a fuck, but I think it's a bad idea. All right, yeah, moving on. What next?
Moving on. Porno.
Oh, well, we're going a bit blue, are we, John? This should be a whole new podcast.
It's something that hit the net. I don't know if you saw it. Wonder Woman XXX.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I saw the story.
Oh, have you seen the picture that's gone with it?
Best Wonder Woman costume ever.
You liked it? I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, better than anything they've done themselves. it was really good. Yeah, I did see that.
You saw the comparison between the porno version and that awful pilot that didn't get the go-ahead.
I did, yeah. I mean, anyone, just look it up. You know, just search Google. Yes, it really. I mean, the article I read suggested that they should just cut out the rude bits and use the clean footage for their film.
No.
And it would be better quality. The costume looks awesome. The girl in it looks awesome. I don't know who she is. You know, I'm not much of a porn fan. Not in public, anyway. And yeah, no, the costume is awesome, really well done. I wonder where they got it made. You know, it must have been custom made. There's an awful lot of, I mean, they're famous, that company, whoever made that Wonder Woman porno. They make a lot of superhero porn films, don't they?
There's tons of parodies.
Yeah, so it's like their niche, but they must have had that costume made somewhere.
Oh yeah. There's a Dark Knight Rises snigger parody.
I just got it.
the bat suit, it looks amazing. It's like, wow, it's like they really put the effort into it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I always thought the suit in the Dark Knight Rises was okay, but the helmet really let it down for me. I didn't like the shape. I don't know, he just looked like a we'll draw a circle around his head and we'll stick a couple of ears on it. It just looked too, his face, it made his face look weird, and I don't know, that's personal preference, I suppose, but I prefer.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, because the actors often complain that Batman suits in the past years, they can't really move their head too much.
Yeah, no, I get that. They made it into different pieces, so yeah, it's a neck piece and a head piece so he could move his neck. Just the shape of it, I mean, it just looked weird. I don't know how to explain it, but it also almost made Christian Bale look a bit chubby around the face.
Yeah,
but yeah, too late now. They're not going to change it now, are they? Go back and CGI it.
Oh no, it's just done now.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I haven't looked. I haven't seen the porno one. You seem to know an awful lot about these, John. So what's next?
Moving on. Independence Day 2.
Oh, yeah. Are they doing that?
I think we touched on this before.
Jolly good show, lads. Well done.
Roland Emmerich and producer Dean Devlin, who obviously created the original, sat down and wrote scripts for two more movies.
That took 5 minutes.
With the ever excellent titles of ID Forever Part 1 and ID Forever Part 2. I presume they're working titles.
You would hope so.
Well, I know in the state of Hollywood today.
Yeah, Dark Continent.
But director Roland Emmerich has revealed that the sequel story is set into motion when a distress call sent back to the alien's home planet from the first film finally brings reinforcements back to Earth. Goes on to explain, because the aliens travel through wormholes, the original aliens from ID4 send back a distress message, and what takes 20 or 25 years for us only takes a few weeks for the aliens traveling through the wormhole, if that makes sense. Do you want me to try to say that again?
Yeah.
The aliens from ID4 send a distress message that goes back to their home world. The aliens then travel through a wormhole to get to Earth to help out. But because of the time distortion with the wormhole, while the aliens are only traveling for 3 or 4 weeks to come to Earth, on Earth it's actually a period of 20, 25 years.
Gotcha. Okay. But does the message get there? For them, the message appears fairly quickly, or?
I presume the message must get there fairly quickly. Why it takes them 3 or 4 weeks to get ready. I don't know. Perhaps they're upgrading the virus software before they come out. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. And then obviously shit hits the fan.
I mean he's revealed further details. It's Earth has changed a bit. We've now got all this alien technology that's left behind from the original batch of aliens, and we've been using it in our own technology, but we don't know how to duplicate it,
right?
So we can rip out an anti-gravity device from one of their ships and stick it into one of our planes.
Yeah.
But ask us to make it. And we're like, I don't know.
Right.
Apparently part one will end on a sort of a bit of a cliffhanger to make you come back and see the next one.
Of course.
They're hoping to mix a series of characters from the original film and new ones for the new film. Bill Pullman has already confirmed he wants to do it.
Well, I haven't seen him in any other films lately. Of course he is. A job, I'll take it.
I'll take that. Will Smith hasn't made any comment yet. Even though they want older people, the storylines will focus on the new heroes, including the stepson.
Will that be played by his actual son, by any chance?
Too early. It's only scripting stage. I hope not, because I can't stand him.
Oh, really? Well, he's going to be in that. What's that other film?
After Earth.
After Earth, yeah. I don't know. I can't see. The only film I think I've seen him in was The Pursuit of Happiness.
All right, yeah.
He was really too young, really, to pass any judgment on him, I think.
Well, isn't that a Karate Kid remake, wasn't he?
I didn't see it, no.
I haven't seen it either. Even though it's got Jackie Chan in it, I still haven't seen it.
Right. I don't want to. I mean, what? Shitting on our youth. We haven't said, haven't said that for a few weeks, have we?
No.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I'm sure it'll be a big blockbuster, and I'm sure people will.
Well, they sound quite confident because Roland Emmerich said he's already working with an art department to design this sort of future Earth that's got alien technology.
he's working with the art department to start producing the posters. There'll be one a day until it's released.
It's all right, they'll just get the guy who did the US Wolverine poster, it'll be fine.
He's blind in one eye. he used as a mouse with his foot because he lost his arms. It's the only way I can explain it. Moving on, John, what's next?
Interstellar, the Christopher Nolan sci-fi film.
Did we mention this before?
We have mentioned this before, yeah.
What's that about?
A heroic interstellar voyage to the furthest reaches of our scientific understanding.
A what?
A heroic interstellar voyage to the furthest reaches of our scientific understanding.
Ah, in space?
I presume so.
Interstellar. Sorry, a bit slow tonight. I don't know. I'm not quite with it. Oh, this just sounds like jargon, doesn't it? For we're going into space and something weird's going to happen.
I probably mentioned this on a previous podcast. The script was written by Nolan's younger brother, Jonathan.
Oh, yeah.
It also helped him write Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And apparently it was going to be a potential project for Mr. Spielberg. But Christopher Nolan signed up on it instead and said, oh, I want to do it. And he's going to rewrite it to incorporate some of his own ideas.
All right.
Set for a November 14 release. The reason I've mentioned it again is because apparently Mr. Nolan's offered the lead to Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, that's weird. Is that weird?
I think that's weird. It's not someone I think of in a lead role these days. I mean, someone says Matthew McConaughey to me, I just think of Contact with Jodie Foster.
Which I don't think was a bad film, was it? I don't think.
No, I like that film, but I think it's the last thing I watched him in.
And that film is lingering on my love film list. I haven't actually received it. It's been on there for about 3 years.
They still can't get you a copy.
Well, I always have other stuff that I want more, I think.
Okay.
It's
the safety net at the bottom of the pile.
It's there, yeah, just in case I run out of other films I want to watch. I should read out my love film list and people can get a real idea of what shit I watch. Yeah, weird. Matthew McConaughey. I can't really think of him in other films. But okay, I mean, yeah, I think films like that, you can put actors that you don't necessarily expect to see in them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Often they're, I mean, you think of things like Sunshine or Moon. Yeah, they're quite slow-paced. There's not a lot of thinking on the feet. You know, it's quite a studied, rehearsed and this is what's going on sort of role. So I think you can put people that you wouldn't normally expect to see in films like that in films like that.
Yeah,
that's my thinking. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but was it Sam Rockwell in Moon, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, just Sam Rockwell as well.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect him to be in a film like that either. He does it brilliantly, but it's quite slow paced and I think it can work like that. Solaris, which was painfully dull, but yeah, George Clooney in that sort of role, again, you know, it's not exactly, he wouldn't be top of my list for a space film, basically. I mean, I think of space and I think of action films, but these are more like thrillers or dramas, really, aren't they?
Gary Sinise in that Mars film.
Mars film.
Is it Mars? There were two Mars films at the same time. One had Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah. I know the one you mean.
And the other one had Gary Sinise.
I don't think I've seen the other one. I've seen the Val Kilmer one. Did that have Carrie Ann Moss in it as well?
It did, I think, yes. Yeah. That sort of robotic leopardy panther thing.
I don't remember that, but yeah, I'm sure you're right. Okay, again, wait and see.
Wait and see, early days as always.
Again, strange movie news this week. It's not stuff that it's interesting, but it's not stuff that I've heard about, which is whether that's me not paying attention or whether you're delving a bit deeper. I don't know, but it's interesting.
I had to dig my way through all the posters to find this stuff.
Yeah, pages of posters. Movie news. That's probably why I gave up.
Oh, dear.
Anything more on that?
No, that was literally it. Matthew McConaughey has been offered the lead.
Cool.
Drum roll, Jurassic Park 4 has a director.
Woohoo! and it's already made and it's in the cinemas next week.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's running out of time.
Yeah, well, when's it due again? Do you remember?
June 13th next year.
Okay. Well, still a little bit of time, but they haven't started making it yet.
Not as far as I know. I presume someone's going to be doing something.
I reckon they've got a lot of it CGI'd, and the director's going to sort of come in and piece it together. I don't know, perhaps it's a theory. It seems unlikely, but maybe. In fantasy bizarro world, perhaps that's what's happening.
Well, there were rumours that it's actually going to be Mr. Spielberg himself returning. People come up with lots of interesting theories that he's got the time to do it and he's not busy doing other things. But it turns out it's a guy called Colin Trevorrow.
Oh, let's make him sound more exotic. Colin Trevorrow.
Okay, that sounds better.
I don't know if that's right. I'm just trying to make him more exotic. Colin, yeah, it's not an exciting first name. He's making up with it for the last name. What's he known for, anything?
He's only done sort of a few small documentaries and a bit of TV work and a small-scale film called Safety Not Guaranteed. It was sort of a critical sort of indie success, and I had a quick look at what the sort of the blurb was for that film. And it was three magazine employees head out to an assignment to interview a guy who placed a classified ad seeking a companion for time travel.
Oh, wow. That sounds interesting.
I want to see that now. That sounds good. But they've given him the directing duties for Jurassic Park 4.
Success Not Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a play on the other title.
Oh, sorry.
Never mind. Yeah, Jurassic Park 4. Oh, what the fuck? Why are they bothering? I really.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do it, just reboot it rather than remake a sequel. It just seems such a waste of time. Who really cares that much about Jurassic Park? I know, don't get me wrong, I love the original first film. I thought it was great. The second one, third one, I'm not so much, but they have their merits. But at this point, so late on, what is the point in carrying it on? What's the point in rehashing it?
I don't know. I mean, what scenarios are left? You go to an island with the dinosaurs on it. Oh, hang on, that's number one and two.
Right.
Let's put the dinosaurs in somewhere populated. Well, that's kind of the end of two and, what's left?
Yeah, dinosaurs in space. Maybe. Yeah, they've put them on the moon.
You're onto something here.
a bit like Iron Sky, but less Nazis, more dinosaurs. It could work. Fuck,
maybe that's what's going to happen. They've left it so late that they're actually going to get Iron Sky and CGI dinosaurs into it.
A dinosaur love story. Two velociraptors. It's got a bit of a dramatic relationship they have. Quite violent. Bit bitey. I don't know. It just seems like such a waste of time. And to bring in someone that no one's ever heard of directing... All right, that film sounds interesting about the time travel, but I don't know. It just sounds like such a straight to DVD movie.
I think Universal are probably hoping it's going to be a bit more than that, but
well, they can hope. They can hope. Perhaps, I don't know. I think, given the number of reboots, and I don't particularly like the amount of reboots that are happening, I'd much rather see something original. But if you're going to do it, just fucking reboot it and start again, because that's, you could make a ton of money doing that.
It reminds me of a tweet I saw this afternoon where the guy said the reason why movie bloggers hate reboots and remakes is the fact that when they look them up on IMDb, it brings up the original film first.
That is quite annoying. No, that would be novice bloggers. You'll always have to double check your facts. Make sure it's not something old you're posting up, John.
Yeah. What?
Like an old trailer, maybe.
Whoops. I apologised. I admitted my mistakes.
Let's move on. Jurassic Park 4. Straight to DVD. What's next after Jurassic Porn? Jurassic Porn.
That's it.
There's a franchise. What's after Jurassic 4? Jurassic Park 4. God.
X-Men again.
X-Men.
Days of Future Past.
Uh-huh.
Bryan Singer's been teasing us on his Twitter account yet again.
He hasn't got a Vine account yet, has he?
No, not yet.
A 6-second trailer.
He posted an image of what's called the cast photo board, which shows you basically who's in the film with like all their official agency headshots.
Yeah.
And it turns out a guy called Daniel Cudmore, who played Colossus from X2 and X-Men The Last Stand, will be reprising that role.
Mm-hmm.
Guy, that can't be his real name, surely. A guy called Boo Boo Stewart, who is in the Twilight Saga, his face was up there, but no one knows who he's going to play yet.
What was his name? Boo Boo what?
Boo Boo Stewart.
I think he's got confused and he's actually turned up for Triple X Man. the porn version. We're on a porn theme tonight. Why not? Let's go with it. Let's embrace it.
And also there's an actress by the name of Fan Bing Bing.
Definitely Triple X Man. She's there for that. Her Fang, what was it? Fang.
F-A-N, as in...
Yeah, Fan.
Fan Bing Bing, as in like Microsoft Bing.
Fan Bing Bing and Boo Boo...
Stewart.
Yeah, that's weird. I did see this picture of the photo board, and I didn't pay enough attention to notice these names. What I did notice was that Patrick Stewart is wearing a rather fetching red turtleneck.
Oh, very nice.
It's like, God, man, update your picture. It's like the same picture you've had since 1984. It's not a good look.
I don't know if you saw it. There's a brilliant photo online of some people in Australia meeting Hugh Jackman on the set of Wolverine.
Oh, no, I didn't.
So Hugh Jackman's got his arm around the guys and they were like, hey, we're with Hugh Jackman. And in the background is a beaming Patrick Stewart photobombing the picture.
Brilliant. I think he's quite funny, Patrick Stewart. He's got a dry wit. I follow him on Twitter. He doesn't tweet much, but he's quite amusing when he's on there.
This lady, Fan Bing Bing, she's going to play a mutant called Blink.
It just gets weirder.
Apparently, Blink appeared in the comics in the mid-90s. She had the power of teleportation, but unfortunately, they killed off her character soon after she was introduced. But she came back in a parallel comic storyline and got more of a following there. It's a visually stunning character similar to Mystique and Beast in that she has lilac skin, dark pink hair, pointy ears, and pupil-less eyes.
I'm not so keen on the blue mutants, you know, the ones with funny coloured skin. I kind of like my mutants to be human looking.
Human with special powers that don't show.
Yeah, kind of. Call me weird. I don't know.
Your filmmaker's dream, because it's cheap then.
Yeah, I guess so. Less CGI and rubber suits.
Okay, well, moving on. Another one of your favourite stories, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, right, yes. Let me just correct a mistake I made in a previous podcast when I said Kevin Eisman. It is, of course, Kevin Eastman who's involved with this film. And I did put that in the show notes to clear that up. But anyway, on you go, sir.
They've officially announced who's playing the four turtles. On the other side, I don't know who any of them are. Leonardo will be played by Pete Plozek, who apparently is from Parks and Recreation. Jeremy Howard, who's from Breaking Bad, he will play Donatello.
Right.
Noel Fisher, who's been in a series called Hatfields and McCoys, he will play Michelangelo. And another guy called Alan Richson, who doesn't seem to have done just some sort of random TV work, will be playing Raphael. According to one of my websites, they have already cast Splinter, but they're holding back on that one.
Okay.
They're not releasing who it is.
So when you say player, will play physically on screen or will voice act?
These people will be doing the motion capture.
Right. Okay, so I guess they don't really need to be particularly well known. I tried watching Parks and Rec because it's just hit BBC Four. Is it BBC Four? BBC is just hit the BBC over here.
Okay.
And I cannot get on with it. People rave about it. It's just fucking dull. Sorry, people of America who enjoy it. It's just dull. And the voice actor I was trying to think of, or not actually a voice actor, he's a well-known actor who voiced one of the turtles in the Nickelodeon show. I was trying to think of last time. He's Jason Biggs, the Pie Fucker from American Pie.
Oh, right.
Again, I put that in the show notes, but I wouldn't expect you to read them, John.
I did read them. Shut up.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so they've announced Turtles. We don't know who Splinter is. I'd probably be a rat, I would imagine.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, it could be anyone really doing the motion capture, but it's the voices, I think, that will make it. And I guess that won't be the people playing the characters, but I guess time will tell on that.
I mean, we quite thoroughly discussed April O'Neil last podcast.
Don't, it makes me shudder.
Okay, moving on.
Megan Fox.
It's going to shoot in and around New York City and in a place called Big Tupper Ski Area in Tupper Lake.
Oh, right, okay.
Apparently they needed the use of a large ski resort, and apparently this Big Tupper Ski Area was forced to shut down just last September, so it fits their needs perfectly. So now I'm thinking, why do the turtles need a ski resort? I'm sure all will become clear.
Maybe they're going to snowboard instead of skateboard. I don't know. We've discussed this. There's no point going into it again. No. I'm still highly dubious, but we'll see how it turns out.
Kevin Eastman seems quite pleased with what's going on. He said, from everything I've seen in the script and the development and everything they've asked my input on specifically, it's going to be awesome. Familiar, solid Turtles movie. It'll have everything that fans are going to want and then some. much like you look at what they're doing at Nickelodeon with the new animated series, it's all based solidly on the Turtles Foundation, but they've hit the reset button. They've taken it back to the first episode, with the Turtles first time above ground after many years of training with Master Splinter. They're making a Turtles origin that is firmly rooted in Turtles history, but a slight tweak here and a slight tweak there. It's been enjoyable, and the IDW series is much the same, in that it's firmly rooted in Turtles history, but multiple Turtles universes.
Okay, well, that's so positive.
He sounds really happy, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I'm pleased that he referenced the IDW stuff, because as anyone knows, I've been banging on about that, and hoping that they draw influence from it. It doesn't sound like they're using that as a story base, but hopefully, you know, he's had influence on that, and fingers crossed that they don't fuck it up. But why the fuck they got Megan Fox in? I really can't fathom it. I really don't know. It just beggars belief. Anyway, Heroes in a Half Shell, what's next?
Apparently, J.J. Abrams had a treatment for Superman, and that leaked on the internet this past week or so.
Oh, right. Wow.
He said, the thing that I tried to emphasize in the story was that if the Kents found this boy, Kal-El, who had the power that he did, he would have most likely killed them both in short order. And the idea that these parents would see, if they were lucky to survive long enough, that they had to immediately begin teaching this kid to limit himself and not be so fast, not be so strong, not be so powerful. The result of that, psychologically, would be fear of oneself, self-doubting, and being ashamed of what you're capable of. Extrapolating that to adulthood became a fascinating psychological profile of someone who was not pretending to be Clark Kent, but who was Clark Kent, who had become that kind of a character who is not able or willing to accept who he was and what his destiny was. The idea in the movie was that he became Superman because he realized he had to finally own his strength and what he'd always been.
Yes, I get it. That's exactly what I've been saying, that it's got to be a human story, this film. It has to be. I know he's, you know, that's his treatment, but this is what it needs to be. It needs to be a human story of, you know, Clark Kent growing up and, you know, developing the confidence to use these powers for what they, you know, ultimately end up being used for good. For justice, for the American way. No, that I get it. That's exactly what it should be. And yeah, I mean, I don't know about the stuff about killing them. It doesn't have to be a whole film of him growing up, but you definitely need to show that struggle as a kid, like having these extra powers but not being able to use them, being different, the struggles, you know. And we touched on Superman being bullied in the film. Apparently he gets bullied at school.
Yeah.
It has to be that, you know, he knows that he could kill these people. He could just throw them into space, but he's got to show restraint. And it's that restraint and that resistance to really develop as a human being, before he can become a Superman. And that's, I totally get that. I'm all for that. I agree with that 100%. And then that gives it a more serious tone as well.
They say he doesn't know if that's what Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan are doing, but it looks like that's part of the idea, and he's really looking forward to Man of Steel.
Again, week after week we say it. I'm absolutely excited for that film. I really, really can't wait for it. And I really hope, you know, like I say, I mean, yeah, that's exactly what I said or think the film should be about. And he said it as well. Whether it will be or not, I don't know, but hopefully. Interesting. I'm pleased by that. I've been reading All-Star Superman Volume 1, and I'm sort of midway through Volume 2 at the moment. Again, you know, I'm reading Godzilla in preparation for Godzilla. I'm reading Superman in preparation for Superman as well. So that's how I'm building my excitement. You hear about a film and read the book. I hear about a film and grab a comic.
Keeping with the theme of Superman, G.I. Joe Retaliation has just been released, and one of the guys in that, a guy called DJ Catrona, was the guy who was going to be Superman in the aborted Justice League movie.
Oh, right.
Which I talked about in one of my What Could Have Been articles.
Yeah.
They mentioned, in the interview, they sort of brought up the subject that he was going to be Superman. Yeah, he said, that was a long slog. We were playing with that for about a year. That was during the writer's strike time, and it got started and it stopped. That was a big bummer. I was really, really excited to work with George Miller, who's going to be directing it. And the script was really, really good. The stuff that Weta was doing was amazing. It's just a shame that we didn't get to finish that because it was going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
He sounds very excited. He continues. I did the Justice League thing the wrong way. I read too much on the internet. You can't do that. The internet is the devil. Well, the internet is not the devil. The comment boards are the devil. Believe me, I've been on the opposite side on there too. When he's read things where the people are saying, like, you can't let that guy be the character. But really, it was Weta, 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 wetter, wetter, wetter. They are amazing, and they can make anybody look like anything. It was a damn shame that we didn't get to finish that. I promise you that it would have been amazing. It would have been incredible. The scale of this was fantastical. It was a Lord of the Rings scale. It would have been really cool.
So what he's saying is it was quite good.
I think he's saying it would have been good, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a shame then, isn't it?
It's probably been one of those projects you hear about, but, you know, nothing ever leaks.
Eventually, I guess it will come out, but... I don't know, maybe they...
They are working on a Justice League movie, aren't they?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe key elements of that project are still going to be incorporated, you know, albeit remade, but incorporated in the new film, and it would be too much of a giveaway if that stuff did leak.
Yeah, true.
Doing a good job of keeping it under wraps, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they built sets, they built the costumes for the guys, and it all got canned literally sort of like about 2 weeks before it's going to start filming. So,
well, anybody listening who hasn't read it, check out on the unheardnerd.com, go to the left sidebar, go down to the labels and find the what could have been label, and click on that and scroll through. You'll find the John's article on that. It's interesting stuff, really. Yeah, a lot of interest. And the whole series is really interesting. Not to inflate your ego too much, John.
That's all right. As I said before, it's just the little bits of trivia that knock about in my head, and I just finally had an outlet to put them down somewhere.
Good. Okay. Well, yeah, interesting. I've forgotten what film he's actually going to be in.
He's in the
G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Which hit the cinemas, I think, yesterday or today, really, here in the UK when we're recording, which is, what is it, the
29th?
Yeah, 29th of March. Yeah, I haven't really heard much about that. I've seen a few tweets, you know, because Paramount Pictures UK retweet everyone that says anything nice about it.
So really?
I've read lots of nice things about it, but I haven't read anything from an independent source yet. So I don't know how good that is. G.I. Joe, again, nothing really excites me about it. Do you think you'll see it?
I'm not in a big rush to see it. The first one was what I call silly fun.
Yeah.
If you sort of accept it at that level, it's entertaining hour and a half.
The kind of film you know is not really very good, but it's quite fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the second one, they advertised Bruce Willis's name all over it, but... It sounds like he did it for the paycheck. He's only in a couple of scenes, apparently.
Well, there you go. Word Burglar will be disappointed in this. Word Burglar obviously has just released three singles from his forthcoming album, which is called Welcome to Cobra Island, and is a tribute to G.I. Joe. The man loves G.I. Joe.
He does.
I haven't seen too many posters for that.
Standard Photoshop mashup jobs, I think, aren't they? Just, you know, cramming in as much of the cast as possible with some explosions sprinkled along the bottom.
Yeah, it's got Dwayne the Rock, whatever his name is, in it, hasn't it?
Johnson, yeah.
Johnson, yeah. Okay, cool. What's next?
I think I've spoken about this before. Bioshock. Do you know much about Bioshock?
The game?
The game.
I know very little about it, other than there is a new one out now, which people are very excited about.
Well, I played the original Bioshock all the way through, and it's an excellent game. It's set in the 1940s. It's all about an underwater city. I won't go into more details. I can't remember them, to be honest, but it was brilliant. It was going to be a movie. It turns out that Watchmen is kind of to blame for it not eventually happening.
This is kind of a what could have been, isn't it?
It's almost. It was going to be directed by a guy called Gore Verbinski, who directed Pirates of the Caribbean 1, 2 and 3 and Rango. And also he's the, I think he's the director of The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp.
Probably be a bit twisted and strange then.
Probably. It's going to be what the Americans call an R-rated movie. And having played the game, I can agree with that. You couldn't make something like Bioshock as PG-13.
I know very little about Bioshock. I don't know what the premise.
It's an 18 rated game as well, so that kind of...
Well, what is it, a shoot 'em up type thing, or...?
It is kind of a first person shooter, but you inject yourself with things called plasmids to give you telekinetic powers, like the ability to create flame or the ability to create ice and throw things around and pick up objects to throw at people.
What was it supposed to be, a film before it was a game or a film of the game?
No, it's a film of the game.
Gotcha, right.
He wanted to make it as a $200 million movie.
Small budget then.
So it's just a small budget. Watchmen came out, which was an R-rated movie with a huge budget, and it didn't do so well at the box office.
Right.
So Universal kind of went, we can't give you 200 million. We can stretch to 80.
It's a bit of a drop.
It's a little bit. So he walked. They tried giving the project to someone else called Juan Carlos Fresnadillo, who directed 28 Weeks Later, the zombie film. But he didn't really get on with it, and it couldn't really work. And basically, all these decisions came back to one of the head guys who runs the company that made the game.
Right.
And when he found out they were trying to make an $80 million version of the film, he was just like, ah, fuck it, and pulled the plug on it.
Right.
And that's what killed it.
That's a shame, because you know, you can make a decent film for $80 million. I mean, it's no small amount, is it? I know it's not $200 million, but
no.
You know, you look at what they did with Dread. I'm not sure it's a fair comparison, but I mean,
say Dredd was half that money.
Yeah, I guess, because I don't know, but I guess BioShock, if it's a underwater city, is it? Then I guess
that's right. Yeah,
I guess the effects need to be a bit more. But I don't know. Who knows what could have been?
Nice segue there, mentioning Dredd. Thanks for that. So that leads on to my final tidbit of news.
Mm-hmm.
The producer of Dredd, a guy called Adi Shankar, in an interview the other day, said there won't be a Dredd 2.
Right.
This is finally official. Everyone was sort of hanging on the hopes that maybe the strong Blu-ray and DVD sales would show that there was an audience for it.
Mm.
But he said at the end of the day, we produced a $50 million movie that only made $35 at the box office.
Right.
But he said he is looking into producing a short film version, much like Dirty Laundry with The Punisher.
Okay.
So it's very possible we might see sort of mini, sort of 5-10 minute versions of Dredd in the future.
Doesn't seem worth it, though. I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether you agree with me, but if you're going to make, you know, more Dredd, it really needs to be a full-length film, surely. I mean, the shorts are fun and they're interesting, but they're not really money makers, are they?
No, I mean, considering the world that Dredd lives in, a futuristic city, it's a lot of effort for 10 minutes.
Yeah, for very little reward.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem viable to me. And the Punisher one that you mentioned, Dirty Laundry, I mean, that kind of makes sense because it's the guy that played, it's Frank Castle, isn't it?
Yeah.
The guy that played the character Frank Castle trying to, Thomas Jane, that's his, the actor's name.
Yes, yeah.
Trying to get the film, you know, another film made, trying to, you know, get it made again because he loves the character.
Yeah.
That made sense. But, you know, sequels, like short sequels, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't know. It's a shame about Dredd because there obviously, I mean, there has been a bit of a movement online to try and get a second one made. People are into it. People do want it.
Yeah. There's, you know, the fans are out there who would like to see another one.
But it's a cult following rather than a wide mainstream following. And I don't really understand why that film Dredd didn't catch a wider audience. I don't really get it.
The marketing seemed a bit late. The trailer was released, it was only what, a few weeks before the actual film came out?
You're right, yeah. I remember the trailer coming out and being really surprised that, oh god, this is out soon. Like, yeah, they really could have planned a bit better. They, you know, could have put out a few more posters.
Posters at least. I mean, I know a film that's made on a $40-50 million budget, it doesn't sound like it has a lot of money for marketing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they could have put something out a lot earlier.
Yeah, or just a bit more widespread. They really missed the boat, I think. I guess that's it. I guess it just comes down to people didn't know about it. There wasn't any hype about it. And it was really only fans of Dredd that were going to go and watch it.
Yeah, too much information was released far too late, basically.
Mm. Shame. Never mind. So is that all the news?
That is all the news for this podcast.
That's everything. Okay. I've been to the cinema again.
Have you?
I have.
Did you watch that fairy thing again?
Not again, no. I watched the sequel to Sammy's Adventure or something.
All right.
Where it's like Finding Nemo with turtles.
Yeah.
but the sequel is Sammy's much older, and it's Sammy's Great Escape, and Sammy's a grandfather. For some reason, watching the hatching of his grandkids, and they get caught by a fisherman and taken to an exclusive aquarium where they have to plot an escape. Yeah, my eldest was petrified in places. It's a U certificate. She's so sensitive. And my youngest couldn't care less. She was eating popcorn.
All right.
She was just watching the film, taking it all in. She's just not sensitive at all. She doesn't care. Like, you could put her in front of, I know, Saw or something. She wouldn't care. She just watched it. But the eldest one is very sensitive. She's, you know, she's five. She's aware now of mild peril. And
I love that term in a classification.
Yeah. So I watched that. And what else have I watched?
I don't know, I saw Rise of the Guardians.
Oh, did you?
That's really good. I think that's really underrated. We both, me and the missus, really enjoyed that film.
Okay, is that good for kids, or is that a bit older? What's it, a PG or something?
Probably, it's probably something like a PG, yeah. Maybe slightly older kids.
Right, because I did see that in the cinema 1 week when we went to Kids Club, and the Odeon Kids Club, which is not as nice as Greenwich Kids Club. They charge more as well. They charge you about, I think it's like £3-4 a ticket, whereas the Greenwich one is £1 a ticket.
Cheeky buggers.
I know, it's just... elsewhere in the country it's £1, but because we're in London we have to pay London rate, which is more.
Oh, that's right, yeah, you're in London, yeah, that's your fault for living there.
Cheers. So I go to the Greenwich one, it's much nicer, it's smaller, they have colouring stuff for the kids before the film starts, and it's nicer, it's smaller. So I would, you know, picture house all the way for me, and it's in 2D. But yeah, I would quite well. I would watch that. Probably wait for it. Is it out on DVD now? Or did you torrent it?
What?
Did you? I'm not going to put this in the podcast.
No, it's out. Yeah, it's out on DVD and Blu-ray in the States.
Right. You imported it then.
I imported it via the internet, yeah.
I watched the Philadelphia Experiment. Have you seen that?
Well, the old 80s film where the
yeah.
Yes.
1984.
I remember that quite fondly. I don't know how it would hold up today.
It was all right, actually. Again, I was fevered and delirious. It was while I was ill in bed.
Oh, right.
And, yeah, I took the iPad to bed and
yeah.
I mean, I was slept for about 13 hours in a go.
Jeez.
And then woke up and you just watched films in bed, really. I was really ill. And, I watched that. And I don't know, because it just comes out. It's a film I've wanted to watch for a long time.
Mm.
It's just not one I've got round to watching. And it keeps coming up as, you know... recommended or highly rated on Love Film Instant. So I watched it and yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it is a bit dated now. The special effects obviously don't hold up. I did quite enjoy that.
My dad had lent me a book, which is someone actually went out to try and find out what actually happened.
Right.
Because that's the urban myth, if you like, that they tried to make a boat invisible to radar.
Hmm.
And it's an interesting read, but basically they couldn't dig up any hard facts.
Right, yeah. it was all right. I mean, yeah, dated and it's funny, like, watching these, everyone smoking everywhere, smoking in a hospital. You know, it's like, what?
That film has a sequel as well.
Does it?
There is a Philadelphia Experiment 2.
Oh, right.
I remember seeing it on VHS when walking around Blockbusters.
Right, yeah.
One of the pictures on the back was the two kids running around a stealth aircraft or something, just, you know, trying to get your attention, going, what, stealth aircraft? Never seen it. It might be shit for all I know.
I expect so, yeah. Okay, I suppose we ought to sign off the show, really, haven't we?
Okay. Oh, yeah, we haven't done that yet, have we? That's it to the news. Bye.
Yeah, start talking, having a conversation. cool. Okay, we'll do that then, and...
Okay. Right, I've got to go because I'm busting for the toilet.
Yeah, okay. All right, sorry, chatting. All right.
That's all right.
Till next time.
See you later, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye.